Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. It is hour two right here on Sports Grid. Friday morning, NBA starts us off yesterday's action. And DeMar DeRozan had another 35-point game and another game where he was shooting it better than 50% from the field. Eight consecutive games where both of those things were true for DeMar DeRozan. He maintains from off the All-Star break, Donnie, the status is the hottest player in the NBA. The question is becoming, though, can DeMar DeRozan, who has now moved all the way up to 10-1, fourth best odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win MVP, Donnie, is can DeMar DeRozan win MVP?
I mean, based on 10-1 odds, sure he can, right? But if you're taking a look at the guys that are above him, here's the difference. Joel Embiid, when you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, the first thing that comes to mind is if Embiid plays well, there's a chance to win. If Embiid doesn't play well, they have no chance to win anything. Nikola Jokic, plus 270 at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win MVP. Mm-hmm. If Nikola Jokic plays extremely well, they can win. If he doesn't, probably good chance they won't. Same thing with Giannis, and he's listed at a plus 420 price, which then leads us right up to DeMar DeRozan at a 10-1. So I told you on the break, good comparison here, right? Because DeMar DeRozan is a wonderful NBA player. He's been sensational for the Chicago Bulls. Every night he's putting in work, 30-plus points, and I get all that. But you know what it feels like to me in the conversation where we talked about Jonathan Taylor in the NFL winning MVP, right? Man, he's a really good football player, but we always have to remember he's a running back in a quarterback league. And DeMar DeRozan, right or wrong right now, when you look at the Chicago Bulls, they're having a great season, but it's almost like I can't put him in that realm of if DeMar DeRozan goes down with an ankle injury, there's no way the Chicago Bulls survive. Because when I'm looking at an MVP, yes, it's usually about the best player in the league on the best team and seeing how, you know, heading into the playoffs, what they can do. Now, as we know, the MVP award stopped at the end of the regular season. But when I look at those four guys, just at the top four here, I think Giannis is more important to his basketball team, Nikola Jokic, and also Joel Embiid. Now, that might change a little bit with James Harden coming to play for the Sixers, but that's just my thought process. Wonderful player, deserves to be in the conversation, but at the end of the day, I just can't put him as the most valuable player in the entire league.
Here's the thing on DeMar. Can he win it? If he scores 35 every single game the rest of the year, yeah, DeMar could win it if that happens. But if the season ends today and you're going to make the argument for DeMar DeRozan at MVP, certainly, Donnie, it's going to be because he's been the best scorer in the NBA this season, averaging 28.3 points per game. He's the fourth leading scorer in the NBA. What are we doing here? You do not win MVP on eight games. Well, who's in front of DeMar, right? Must be a lot of guys playing garbage time minutes. Well, one of them's LeBron. We can remove LeBron from the conversation. The other two in front of him, it's Giannis and Embiid. Two of the top three choices to win the award. What are we doing here? I appreciate DeMar DeRozan somehow at the age of 32 on his third team having the best season of his career. I appreciate DeMar DeRozan being signed by the Chicago Bulls, being viewed as a net negative, and transitioning into the best player on a team that had Vucevic and LaVine as their front and center all-star core pieces. DeMar DeRozan has been awesome, a legitimate argument for an all-NBA guard spot or forward spot, however they're going to divvy it up. But the MVP of the league? No! You don't win MVP for 8 games. That's not how that works. Sorry. Radio audience, into the fold. Sports Grid Radio, the early line. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. Chicago Bulls fans, probably a little annoyed. I don't know, Donnie. But you can't win the NBA's MVP award because you're the best scorer in the NBA while being fourth in the NBA in points per game.
Exactly, and you can't fire up the radio once more by yelling at them, by bringing them in. I appreciate the energy here on a Friday. Now, if you take a look here, simple. MVP, most valuable player in the league. So sometimes I just keep it simple here. And you look at the top four right here, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, and DeMar DeRozan here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, listed 1-4 in odds. If we had a LeBron versus Team Durant draft, and we said, okay, floor is open, who are you taking first overall? I think too many people are going to take DeMar DeRozan first overall. And again, that's okay. He's listed in the top five in the MVP in the top five in the NBA in the MVP race. Great basketball player. But if I'm picking one guy who I need to start a franchise with for 1 year, it's not going to be DeMar DeRozan. And it makes it simple for me to make that decision.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about the Nets result. We'll do that next segment and we'll tie it into James Harden's Sixer debut. A couple of notes from last night's board, but I think the big one, Donnie, that we should bring up here, 124, 104, 9, 10, 11, doesn't matter. The Phoenix Suns' first game without Chris Paul, I get it, bad team, I get it, win by 20 in Oklahoma City, and Devin Booker gives you 25 points, 12 assists, 5 rebounds, 6 steals, and a game-best plus 26.
Yeah, unbelievable performance. And we talked about this one going, what is that line supposed to be? Ah, should be 5. Sounds about right. Balloons up to right around 10 at closing at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But also, Kevin, mentioned yesterday, maybe you should take Oklahoma City in the first half as opposed to the full game. They got blasted. The tank is out in Oklahoma City, apparently, at this point.
They just laid out the red carpet for the Suns in the first quarter just to make sure that they were behind the eight ball. You have to appreciate the vision. Nets in trouble, Harden's debut, all next.
Lost in a
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nets was off to a booming start last night. Opened as a 4-point dog at home. Closed as a 9-point dog at home. They needed to be a 29-point dog at home for any of this seemingly to make a difference here. 129 to 106. They lose the first quarter by 13, and Boston never looked back. The Brooklyn Nets led for an impressive 0 seconds of this basketball game, Donnie. Are the Nets in a little bit of trouble here?
I don't know if they're in trouble here, because apparently the FanDuel Sportsbook says they're not in trouble because they are still third right now listed in the NBA champion odds. Number one, and these two haven't moved. Golden State plus 410, Phoenix plus 410, both coming off victories last night. And then the Brooklyn Nets at a 6-1 favorite here. And I can't get, what is it now, Kevin? 12 of 13? 13 or 4. What have they lost in a row? It's just something incomparable right now where they're not, odds aren't moving all that much. And again, yesterday, when we're coming out of the break and saying to ourselves here, I think the Celtics will probably end up winning. It wasn't so much the handicap on that basketball game, but just getting back to the point over the last 2 weeks, you are running out Patty Mills, Seth Curry, Bruce Brown, James Johnson, and Andre Drummond and getting shellacked every night. And everybody's now, hold on. Wait till the big three comes back, or should I say the new big three for the Brooklyn Nets. Everything is going to be okay. Are we rest assured of that? And I was joking to open up the show, or do they need to go 15-0 down the stretch just to make the play-in tournament at this point? I don't like where this Nets season is going. Now, there is a, sunset out there and bright blue skies once all three of those players come back. But until I see them on the court, or at least, Kevin, give me a timeline on the Nets. Like, I can't just be sitting here going, they're third listed here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win an NBA championship, and I have no idea when anybody's going to play, and we lose every single night. What gives?
What gives is under 44.5 wins.
Man.
Now, listen, nothing's a guarantee, DRS. Nothing is a guarantee. But could you have asked for a better open to a, I mean, to an under for an updated win total? There, again, Kevin Durant might have quit the NBA. We have no idea. I don't know. Like, Kevin Durant all of a sudden, like, caught, like, Uncle Dennis is handling Durant's affairs now. We don't even know, like, what's going on with KD at all. Ramona Shelbourne, with the greatest bait and switch report in the history of sports reporting, no shot here, goes, oh, Ben Simmons will be back sooner than later. Yeah, it's going to be months, not weeks. What you guys want from me? Didn't you all think that he was never going to play basketball again? And then, again, Kyrie's like, watch when we come out of the break. Like, what, did he not realize that the first game out of the break he wasn't allowed to play in? What, did he think Durant was coming back? What, did he think Ben's going to be there? And here's my favorite part before we make this transition to the Harden debut, Donnie. Next game, at Kyrie will be back at Milwaukee. 8-point dog, 9-point dog. Again, Don, this isn't going to get any better.
Yeah. It's not getting any better. Not getting better. I was waiting for you to bring up the Sixers game as they meet up on the 10th because that needs to happen. Like, if you said right now, right, the Brooklyn Nets are saying, like, everybody is shooting for March 10th to be back in the house, that would be anticipation. But again, it's the 25th of February. If they're all back by March 10th, what is that, 5 more losses in a row? Like, I don't understand what's going on. When is it going to move where the Brooklyn Nets drop all the way back down? Mm-hmm. And now we're worried about, because it seems like to me, most people are like, if they just get to the play-ins, they'll walk through those and hammer everybody in the East and walk right to an NBA championship. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't.
No, everything will be fine. All the time, teams at the eighth spot just, you know, make their way to the NBA championship as favorites in every single. No problem, Don. Yeah, no, that'd be great when they're all back game the first time against Philly. They're on a 7-game losing.
Yeah, we lost 18 of 19 or whatever.
And the Sixers blast them. Oh, that would be tremendous. Yeah. Oh, that would be good. Let's talk Sixers, man. Let's talk Sixers. The debut. The Harden debut. The Philadelphia 76ers are a 2.5-point favorite against Minnesota, who's on the second leg of a back-to-back. What gives, Donnie, with this line?
Yeah, what does give with this line? I'll tell you what's giving. It was actually -1 yesterday, so at least it's moving in the right direction. I guess Shams put out the tweet yesterday that it was official that James Harden actually is going to be playing in this game and making his return. Like, we didn't know that was going to take place. How about that, Kevin? It came out of the All-Star break. Yeah, you know what? I'm not ready yet. I'm shooting for March 10th so we can all get together and play that Sixers-Brooklyn Nets game. But it's just interesting to see now, right? The projected lineup for the Philadelphia 76ers. Maxi Harden, Thibodeau, Harris, and Embiid. I got to tell you, like, I love Harden in the lineup. But he's still leaning on guys like Thibodeau and Maxey that were supposed to be, like, bench guys coming off, now being true starters. That buyout market is going to be interesting to see if that can continue, and they might be able to add another veteran on their team. But look, this isn't going to be an easy game. Minnesota Timberwolves are very good. Look at their starting lineup tonight, Kevin. They're anticipated. Beverly, Russell, Edwards, Vanderbilt, and Towns. That's not a bad look here. And I have to say, we love the panic. Sports fans loves to panic tonight. We, Sixer fans, have been waiting a long time for this game to show up after the All-Star break. Let me tell you, if this game ends up like 121, 101, Minnesota in a victory, this is going to be fun radio on Saturday morning. I told you you shouldn't have traded for James Harden. I can't wait for all that fallout. But the Sixers are a better organization because they have James Harden now. It'll be fun to watch. But this isn't going to be a one-day click, right? Because as I said, that horrible 20-point loss that they could have tonight. What happens if they win 121-101 and James Harden drops a 25-13 tonight? Now it's on and popping, but I'm looking forward to it overall.
Why are they not going to win by 20? Minnesota is on the second leg of a back-to-back. What is it? No one's tired
because
we just had the All-Star break?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great that they're home, Donnie. It might as well be pick. What is this going to land to? Are you kidding me here? This is the line for Harden's debut? Nobody's betting on Harden's debut? What is going on here, man? Where's FanDuel's got this neat little tool? Let me see if this if they got this thing called Stats now that you can hang out at the bottom here. Donnie, 90. This is according to the FanDuel Stats on the sports book here. 91% of the spread money is on Philly. 87% of the spread bets is on Philly, and it's 2.5. Minnesota's only covered 3 of the 9 games they've played without rest. Now, a very odd stat. The Sixers are actually 4-10 against the spread when they have a rest advantage. But I don't care about that. It's 2.5. They need to win this game. This is ridiculous. If they don't cover this number, then Donnie, listen. If they don't cover, we're doing an impromptu live show, post-game press conference, panic button smashed, the Sixers lost the trade, and they need to fire Doc Rivers. I mean, come on. What, 2.5? Come on.
Yeah. Now, hold on now. You'll be doing that show by yourself, and I might be able to chime in and watch it through YouTube or something like that. I'm not going to. That's too late for DRS. But you do have the move here, though, right? You do have the Philadelphia 76ers at the FanDuel Sportsbook opened up at -1 and now sitting at 2.5. So the line is going in direction, you know, with a correlation of the percentage of money on the spread and also on the bets itself. But it's taking a look at that. Mm-hmm. I do think they win tonight, but they're still, it's a first game back. Like, there are always growing pains. Like, James Harden hasn't taken the court for 20 games with the Sixers, and they finally worked it all out. There's a good portion of tonight where it might not go all that well for the Sixers, and if they play well or not play well, I'm here for it, because that just means the city is going to be buzzing tomorrow morning with sell your futures and your tickets, or I can't get enough for the Sixers. They won't let me get any more credit here at the book, because I want to lay more money on the Sixers winning the NBA championship. Should be a fun one to watch tonight. I will be watching, and if the game ends and it's not good, I'll be watching as well. Kevin go live by himself on the air.
No, listen, I'm going to FaceTime Donnie on his phone that does not have FaceTime. Couple things. Couple things with all this, though. In terms of what is more exciting, if they lose, we can try and go, oh, my God, are they going to panic? We know that's not true, but that's the first game. They need to win by 35. And then just, like, flip to, like, the favorites to win the NBA championship. It would be tremendous. We'll try and project out what some of the props look like for this game and also talk about the LA showdown and some more NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back. Exited out a whole window that I had left open for like a day because I had some stuff I needed to do, Donnie. Now, you ever close out a window accidentally? Very annoying.
I do it all the time, but professionals like me can talk on anything. Even if you ask me a question, I didn't hear it, I'll spit some game on something here. And even if you want me to drop a nice tight beat and with a hook, I can do that as well, Kevin. So I do it all.
No, I hope one day B-Rod says slap a good tune in underneath again. We'll see if we...
You're going to ruin a segment. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's no way to make it through. Quickly, let's button up the Sixers here. DRS, first of all, yesterday, Doc Rivers at the press conference says the plan is for at least two of Harden, Embiid, Harris, and Maxey to be out on the court at all times to ensure Philly has consistent offensive threats available. Donnie, one, when did Doc Rivers learn how to have rotations in the NBA? And two, just to pair it all together, any expectations on what Harden and Embiid props would look like tonight from a points perspective, even a Harden assist perspective?
Yeah, I can't wait till they post them on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But take a look tonight at some of these projections. You know, like Joel Embiid still going to have a big night, close to 34 points, Kevin. Rebounds, double-digit range, 11 to 12. Still picking up a couple assists. But James Harden tonight expected to get around 20 points, around 9 assists, and right around 6 rebounds. So we're anticipating some pretty good stuff here. And you're right, like, you know, Doc Rivers and his rotations, which we're laughing at in the playoffs. I wonder what happened if it's like, you know, hey, let's play chess together, and it would be Tibbs on one side and Doc Rivers on the other side. But hey, man, 8 hours going through. You guys even made one move yet at this point now? So I don't know how much, you know, Doc is trying to work things out and see who he's going to actually fit in at this point. But just let these two play. How about, hey, Doc, How about keeping them in as long as a chance as you can each game? Maybe that'll work for you.
A chess analogy shouldn't pop me that much, yes. But it's the idea of Thibs only moving the same pawn.
Yes.
Yeah, that pawn's hot, man.
Not even moving it, right? You talk like speed chess, like these guys are just hitting the clock and not making any moves back and forth. I mean, that would be sensational to watch. You get onto the park, but hey, man, you're supposed to move it. Yeah, just keep hitting the clock left and right. Yeah.
Keeps moving the knight in the same back and forth alley. He's like, it's working, man. And he lost a piece this whole game. Oh, my goodness, man. Thibodeau. We'll talk Knicks in a minute here. Look, the one thing I'll say for this game is I think you're going to see the Embiid point prop under the 30 spot. That's just my guess with Harden entering the fold. And you're going to get a lot of people to bet the over. And I'm not sure I disagree. I think Harden tonight is going to ensure things work with others. High total, Harden assists. They hang it under 10. Has to be a play to an over. Has to be. I know the projections, Donnie, will keep it close. Not like, you know, they're not projecting him for 13. It's a massive edge. Look, again, don't forget, this guy's averaging over double-digit assists per game on this season in Brooklyn, and I think the same will maintain in Philly. Yeah. Shifting over, Donnie, to Lakers-Clippers here. Near pick'em. Lakers are a one-point favorite. They're minus 110 on the money line, minus 106 for the Clips. The total is 223. Must win is always relative, right? Do the Lakers miss the playoffs if they lose this game? No. Are they going to win the championship if they win this game? Absolutely not. However, if we are going to start to change the conversation around the expectations for the Lakers for the remainder of the regular season, and I know that might sound a little unfair because Anthony Davis is out there, but too bad. The Lakers need to be winning this game here tonight, Donnie, in my eyes, against the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, and they do need to be winning and taking a look at that handy-dandy little FanDuel sportsbook, you know, spread of money. And I got to tell you, hold on, are you with me on this? Did you click that down?
Yeah,
go to FanDuel right now, click that down.
Uh-huh.
Now, me being a little bit brain dead, I hit that drop-down box and I say to myself, now, hold on, because, you know, the Lakers, I understand purple and I understand red, but I just took a look at that, ready to use it on the fly, and just went, like, now, hold on here. L.A.'s getting the spread and getting the, you know, certain pound of bets and money on this. Which L.A. team are we talking about? Obviously, the Lakers are the heavy favorite in this game, minus one here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, over 223. But I got to tell you, I think I'm looking at the Clippers in this game. I really do. If I'm looking at this lineup for the Los Angeles Lakers, anticipated tonight, Westbrook, Monk, James, Johnson, and Howard, I need Anthony Davis. I really do, because otherwise it's going to be, I need LeBron for 40, 11, and 8 for them to have a chance to win this basketball game. Can LeBron James do that? Absolutely. But I got to tell you, deeper team to me is the Los Angeles Clippers. I'll buck the public in this, and I'll go with the Clippers in this game, and I'm sure you will agree.
No, I won't agree with. Well, when it comes to this Lakers team, it would be a fireable offense if I were to just tune in every day and tell, hey, people, you got to bet the Lakers. You'd be losing a ton of money. So I'm not going to. Lakers are going to smash this team. I've seen this Lakers team. Third quarter, down 15. Melo hits a three, and you go, ooh, maybe they can start to make a comeback. But it doesn't matter because they're down 15. Because they played no defense. They've given up 70 points to the Clippers in the first half. And that's the way these things seemingly tend to go. So as it pertains to the spread, I'm not super interested in either side at the pick 'em price. I do think the total is eye-catching, though, because I do think that the Lakers struggle still right now on the defensive side of the ball, especially if you're not going to have Anthony Davis available. The Lakers have been one of the better over teams in the NBA, and at 223 against another strong over team like the Los Angeles Clippers, who hung a nice buck 42 on the Rockets on their way out, I think the over lines up here for this game. I want to quickly just acknowledge the point props on LeBron is 30.5. Westbrook, 18.5. The LeBron numbers are going to be very interesting, Donnie, but clearly you can see out of the starting gates there, they're not going to allow you get a leg up. They're not hanging a 27 or a 28 spot and allow people to beat them there. And I think Westbrook props become as fascinating a market to follow for the second half of the season as any specific player is out there.
No, and you're right about that, too, because you're at the crossroads here. Like, we saw, like, the New York Knicks. I know we can't really equate two teams, but Kemba Walker, we tried, it didn't work out. We tried, it didn't work out. Now you get banished, and we'll see you next season. I feel like the Lakers' playoff chances, as crazy as it sounds, sure, I mean, they're going to hinge, obviously, on how well LeBron James plays and Anthony Davis plays. But don't you get the feel like Westbrook actually has to be a big part of this team for the final 20 games for them to make that playoff push and be successful? It's wild because, also, like we talked about Kemba Walker, it seems like Vogel and the coaching staff in the front office, like, hey, man, this guy's not part of our future plans, and we don't think he can actually win games, when it's kind of funny where now you actually must rely on him a little bit more to win games, and I think the Lakers will do that, because if Westbrook plays well, they'll get to the playoffs. If Westbrook is banished or not playing well, they're going to struggle here in the second part of this second half of the season, as we like to say.
And Westbrook's been good, two-game sample size, post-deadline. The Lakers have been good, two-game sample size, post-trade deadline. If they can take that, Donnie, keep momentum, and hold down the fort here in this game against the Clippers, especially because the game after they play the Los Angeles Clippers, and I'm going to double-check this, is against the New Orleans Pelicans at home. It is on Sunday. You, Donnie, have a little three-game win streak, you know, probably what you would hope to be, you know, four covers in a row, and you factor in the Golden State game there. All of a sudden, there's a little bit more confidence for that Los Angeles Lakers team. Another superstar to track in the second half of the season is Luka Doncic, someone who I legitimately think can sneak into this MVP race at his 30-1 marker. And here's a good reason why, Donnie. Points prop, 31.5. Rebounds prop, 9.5. Assist props, 8.5. I mean, the guy is basically entering games being booked on yes-no for 30-point triple doubles at this rate. 6-point dog, though, as the Mavs go to Utah.
Yeah, and are we betting against Luka Doncic at this point? No. And you saw Mark Cuban did an interview the other day saying, hey, we humbled Luka Doncic a little bit. Hey, get in a little bit better shape. I think you could be a lead dog in this league. Show me that you really care. And look at what he's doing. Because also, Kevin, sometimes we take a look at superstars. You want to match him up with another superstar. He is doing this knowing full well that the other team is like, the only guy we have to stop is Luka Doncic. You know, Brunson, Bullock, Finney Smith, and Powell. That's his starting lineup. But every night he is surging on the offensive end and seemingly getting better and better. So if we look at his points prop here tonight, the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, 31.5. Who's betting under on that? Are you betting on that? I'm not betting under on that.
No way. I mean, he is as hot as can be. And here's the thing. Like we saw with DeMar DeRozan, Donnie. You can carry that over post-All-Star break. You absolutely can. Yeah. The one guy I would look at, though, a little bit more might be, assuming everything's okay with him, because sneaky, not much of a headline, but Donovan Mitchell did not play in the All-Star game, Donnie. Ultimately, I think he was sick, not COVID-related. But when he returned, 27-32, a down game with 14, 24-30, 37 before they went into the break there. A points prop listed at 24.5. I think Donovan Mitchell is certainly going to look to have himself a big second half to the season here for the Utah Jazz. And over 24.5 points feels very, very live for their star guard here in this game. Let me also bring up this Phoenix game here. Eight, second leg of a back-to-back versus New Orleans, DRS. Are we falling into the same spot again? The eight feels very strong for the Suns here.
Yeah, it does feel very strong, but they're coming home, and we used to see them on the home and homes before Chris Paul actually went down, like 17-point favorites. Yeah. So you're getting a discount. I was very impressed by the Suns last night, handling their business and winning by way above margin. Who's to say they can't do it again here? But you're also looking at second games, third games, fourth games without Chris Paul. Sooner or later, that attrition is going to have to kick in. We'll see if it comes versus the Pelicans tonight. Not one of those games I'm going to bet. More of a look-see approach here, but CJ McCollum usage rate way high for tonight. We'll see how it plays out.
Devin Booker averaged 6.5 assists 2 years ago before Chris Paul ever came to the Suns. In his game yesterday, his assist prop was 6.5. He had 12 dimes. And the FanDuel Sportsbook said, ooh, that's not happening twice. 7.5 is the number. And it's -122 towards the over. But it still might not be high enough. Certainly a number to track. Keep talking hoops right here on the early line after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And what the weekend will be delivering, with obviously, you know, football's done and everything like that. College basketball now is tremendously important, what's going on here. But DRS, like, we don't have the chance to break down your Saturday and Sunday slates because we don't have a lot of the lines available. But these are monster games. Some of the biggest games of the year will be taking place this weekend. We want to talk about them, maybe what the lines could look like, what the totals could look like, and what ultimately could line up for you when those numbers are posted. We begin with the Saturday slate, DRS, and the SEC has two massive, massive games. We begin with Arkansas and Kentucky. Arkansas right now is one of the hottest teams in the country. Kentucky, one of the more dangerous groups in the country, with impressive victories against Bama and LSU, despite that depleted backcourt here. I think one of the initial questions when I look at this game is, this a spot where Arkansas has done enough to be a favorite hosting Kentucky?
Yeah, it's a pretty good matchup that we're going to be, you know, dipping our toes into, as we like to say, because you have the number one most efficient offense in SEC play, that's Kentucky, and how about the number one most efficient defense in SEC play, that is Arkansas. And these two teams match up fairly well, and this is what we like heading down the stretch, as we last couple days of February, heading into March. These games go a long way, Kevin, not so much like seeding per se in the conference tournament or winning a conference itself, but these go a long way with seeding you into March Madness, where maybe you end up on a 2-line or a 1-line or a 3-line, whether or not you win this game, and that could play into it. But if we take a look here, usually when we're getting down the stretch, and the SEC has turned into it, like we usually talk about football, right? Oh man, you got really good defenses in the SEC. The same thing with basketball. Both of these teams very good. If we look at two top 20 defenses in the country at play, so when you take a look at Kentucky on offense, Kevin, number one in the SEC from behind the arc at making threes, 38%. You also have the Arkansas Razorbacks, Kevin, number one in the SEC at defending the three-point arc and only letting you make about 29% of those three-point shots. Now, typically, we take a look at Kentucky and say, well, hold on here. They're number one in conference in actual shooting percentage from behind the arc, but they're 13 out of 14 teams, Kevin, in the SEC at volume behind three-point range. So maybe that doesn't really dip into too much. Now, if you take a look at Arkansas on offense, here's what makes sense also. About 51% of their point distribution comes from inside the arc. If we match it up with Kentucky, they're sixth in conference play at letting you score from inside. It's one of those games where you look at and you say, you really want to take Kentucky, but when it's all said and done, Arkansas is a really good matchup against Kentucky in this one. We'll see how this one plays out on Saturday, but a big, big time tilt in the SEC late in February here.
And we've continued to see Kentucky and Arizona at this point, Donnie. It feels like exchange status as the second choice to Gonzaga win the national championship. They're tied, the other pulls ahead. Kentucky right now checks in at 7-1, but it's the Arkansas number that I think is a little more important to watch right now. The Razorbacks check in at 80-1 to win the national championship.
Yeah.
A win versus Kentucky, the number is on the move. Where does it go? Ohio State, Connecticut, UConn, Texas are all 60. Bama's 60. I think that's the floor of the move, Donnie. If that team ultimately does beat Kentucky, it's going to be a good one. 50-1 is where you can find Tennessee. Auburn, 12-1, who seemingly has had a little bit of the shine taken off them recently, Donnie, when you talk about the Auburn Tigers. Just a couple of losses. They were able to handle their business against Ole Miss, though it was not a cover. Tennessee bounced back after their loss to Arkansas with a win in cover at Mizzou. When we're checking out this game here, are the Vols, Donnie, projected to be a favorite against Auburn?
Yeah, this is going to be a pretty good one matchup as well. We just talked about Kentucky and Arkansas. Like, coming into that game, Kentucky's won 8 of 9, Arkansas 12 of 13. And also keep in mind, Arkansas in the SEC opened up 0-3, now sits at 11-4. These are two really good games in the SEC that could go a long way again with these quad one victories that we talk about. Well, let's take a look at Auburn entering into this game. 25-3, Tennessee 20-7. Two good records here in the SEC, 1-11-4 for Tennessee, and for Auburn at 13-2. Both coming in relatively hot. Auburn winners of the past 3 out of 4 games, and Tennessee has won 6 of 7. Now, the same thing, Kevin, that we were just talking about in the previous game in the SEC and what makes sense. Really, really good defenses. Now, it looks like we're going to have a slight favorite here for Tennessee entering into Saturday's game, maybe about 2 to 3 point advantage here. But if we're looking from an SEC competitive standpoint, both of these teams very good, Kevin. We take a look at the offense for Auburn, second most efficient team in SEC play. We take a look at Tennessee. They're in the top 5 in the SEC. But both of these defenses, once again, Kevin, number 2 in the SEC and number 3 in the SEC. If we translate defensive efficiency nationally, how about this?
Yeah.
Tennessee, 3rd overall in the country on defensive efficiency, and Auburn, 8th overall. So when I see that right now, two teams that know how to get down, I automatically look to the under. Even though the offenses are very good, if you're giving me two top 10 defenses, I'll let that play out over the strength of the game, where both of these teams are going to be hammering each other on both ends, Kevin.
For me, Donnie, these back-to-back breakdowns is why we continue to see the SEC booked at plus 300 to win the national championship. Mm-hmm. You know, you get Kentucky at 7-1. It's a drop-off to 3-1, but you're adding Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, obviously Arkansas. Like, you're adding, and Alabama, you're adding a legitimate crop of contenders at a plus 300 number if you were to bet that conference. I would say, though, if you did play it that way at a 3-1 number, because we're going to get to the point when I think the brackets revealed, you're going to, I would assume, because I know Donnie did it last year and I know I'm interested as well in adding a couple of tickets to ultimately cut down the nets, whether that be through the Final Four, the national championship there. If you bet the SEC at plus 300, you're not probably going to be adding a ton more, maybe one other team to the list of who you think wins the national championship. But again, you just brought 6 teams into the fold there, which is very, very interesting when you try and play it that way. Another game, Donnie, that I wanted to certainly bring up here is Baylor, Kansas. Because we saw these teams play once. We know college basketball, sports in general, never Groundhog Day. But this was a rout. This was a huge mover. And we talk about the perception of two basketball teams when Kansas and Baylor last played. Kansas at home won the game 83-59 as a 2.5-point home favorite. When we look at Baylor, Kansas, Donnie, is this a situation of maybe Kansas is just a really bad matchup for the Bears?
It could be. It could be at this point, but I'm going to tell you why they might actually be a decent matchup this time around here. We're going to take a look at the overall odds in this game. We don't have anything official yet, but it looks like possibility of a Baylor between 3 to 4 point favorite here over Kansas. And if you take a look at Kansas in Big 12 play, Kevin, number 1 overall in offensive efficiency, effective field goal percentage, number 1 from shooting the 3, and number 1 from shooting the 2. So a lot of this stuff makes sense. Now, we talk about styles make fights here and what teams want to do. And this is the reason why I look at Kansas versus Baylor's defense. If we look from 3-point range, as I said, number 1 in conference play at making the 3-point shot. You know who's number 2 in conference play at saying, hey, we're going to defend the 3-point shot? That's the Baylor defense. So let's take a look inside, Kevin. As I said, Kansas, number 1 overall inside the arc, close to 55% of their field goal percentage. If we take a look at Baylor's defense, they're 7th out of 10 teams at defending inside the arc. And why does this make sense for Kansas? Let's slide it down to the point distribution. 5th in conference play at scoring inside the arc at about 55% of their points come from inside the arc, off the free throw line, and so on. If we look at Baylor, number 2, Kevin, in conference play at letting you score inside the arc. So you have a strength with Kansas. As I said, number 1 overall field goal percentage inside the arc. And then if they're going to do some damage and you have Baylor giving up the 2nd most points in conference play from inside, I got to tell you, I like Baylor. They are a pedigree program. Same thing with Kansas. And we know, obviously, Baylor hanging a national championship banner. But if you're going to give me 4 points in this game, I might be swayed to take the Kansas Jayhawks in this one on Saturday.
It's also a really interesting game, again, with a lot of these teams about what to expect moving forward. I've started to try and craft, Donnie, a short list of national championship teams. And we'll do this when we get closer. But I built out a chart of the last 10 national championship games and where those teams ranked overall in efficiency on KenPom, offensive efficiency, and defensive efficiency. And over the last 10 years, only five teams, which is 20 total teams, have made the championship game with a unit that ranked outside of the top 30 when you talk either offense or defense. And only once did a team in the last 10 years win the national championship with having a unit, whether it be offense or defense, outside of the top 30. Right now, Kansas's defense is 31st in the country, but the fourth best offense here. Now, listen, I'm not going to tell you that if Kansas gets to 29, now all of a sudden I can buy in. But it's just something to reference, because what they did defensively against Baylor the last time they saw them was a huge boost to the confidence to me on what the Jayhawks can bring to the table. It's a lot to ask a group to run it back, but this is the kind of game for both that says a lot about your odds to win a national championship. With only a couple of minutes left here, DRS, you tell me, would you rather try and quickly bring up, you know, the two other games that we had slated, or maybe talk about anything that's catching your eye for the Friday slate of college?
I would probably say, more importantly there, Kevin, let's move it over to Sunday, or excuse me, late Saturday night game, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. I think that one is really intriguing here, Kevin. Not from a breakdown statistical standpoint, but as we saw last night, you know, if you're talking about the heavyweights of the WCC, obviously Gonzaga is number one. Then you have San Francisco behind them and also St. Mary's, which is usually viable targets outside of them playing Gonzaga. They usually handle their business in West Coast Conference play. But how about this one? Are we anticipating a line here, Kevin, on a Gonzaga game that's under 10 points? Because you saw last night, ooh, that sharpness, right? Hey, San Francisco only getting 10. They should be able to hang around. They didn't hang around in the first half, didn't hang around in the second half. An easy Gonzaga win. Back-to-back road games against your most fierce opponents. I want to see how this turns out, but I got to tell you right now, if this game is hung at a 7, 8, or a 9, which means below 10, doesn't it just seem like an autoplay on Gonzaga and you just let the chips fall where they may?
I think considering the way they looked against the Dons, for a lot of people, that's how they're going to line it up. When they played at Gonzaga, the Zags laid 16. They won by 16. What's a little more interesting to me is this total. It was 147.5 when they met. I mean, you want to talk about two teams operating on the, you know, opposite sides of the spectrum here. The Gonzaga won 74-56, right? It's 132 points. 147.5. was well under. Don, when you're looking at that projection there, what would be the range of the total? I'm assuming it's certainly going to still be above 140 because we're talking about a Gonzaga game, but it's not going to be clearly above the 150. Is this going to shift down a bit from that 147.5 last time these teams played?
It could, because you're anticipating scores, and sometimes you look at KenPom, they'll give you a little bit of a peek into the future here. You're trying to take a look at a, you know, Gonzaga team that's routinely, Kevin, in the high 80s, 90s, and over the century mark. They're anticipating them scoring 75 points in this game, so roughly a 75-68 final, which is going to be interesting to watch. And you're right, St. Mary's knows the best way for them to win is be ultra, you know, execution to the highest level and slowing the game down to limit possessions. If you get into a running match with Gonzaga, it's a wipeout. You say Mary's loses by 15 plus points. It'll be fun to watch. It's a late game on Saturday, so after everything's wrapped up, tuck yourself in and watch this one. It's going to be a good one out on the West Coast.
Absolutely. Also interested to watch what happens when Michigan is playing some ranked teams over the weekend. Lastly, for this card tonight, Keegan Murray points prop. Take a look. Last time you saw Nebraska, gave that team 37. Something eye up. DRS, listen up. Weekend around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the week here for the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carried you through the entire week one more time. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next few hours. And I told you guys on Listen Up segments, we are going to pound Major League Baseball, and we're going to do it again today. So we're talking baseball on a Friday, and you need to listen up. All right, enough with the deadlines here in Major League Baseball, because now we have another one. Monday is the deadline to start the season on time. And I told you guys yesterday, the Major League Baseball owners, the group itself, is doing things the wrong way. If you're going to lock them out on March 31st before the season starts. So at least you get spring training in, and if you get spring training in and you come to a late agreement and maybe goes over a day or two, Major League Baseball can start right away because the players are ready, and everything should be able to work out because they've been in camp for 6 weeks. But instead, we lock them out, and we're going to sit out probably most of the month of March and pushing back everything into May. Now, having said that, as we take a look at deadlines, and I know deadlines usually force deals to go through because the threat of actual losing regular season games is going to chime in through both the owners and the players' heads by saying, now, hold on, we're going to lose money, and nobody likes to lose money. But what are the odds here? I always like to say here on the early line, we're odds men. We like to talk about odds and what's going to take place. Do we actually think a deal is going to get done before Monday when they met yesterday for like 15 minutes, moved a dollar apiece when they're $100 million apart on some things, and that's going to say, hey, we'll get back on Saturday and Sunday, and we'll work through the night on Monday to make this deal happen? I don't think a deal is going to happen. And ultimately, the owners aren't the losers. The players aren't the losers. The fans like me who can't wait for Major League Baseball are the ultimate losers in this situation. It's a shame it has to come to this, but it looks like Major League Baseball going to cross that deadline here and certainly postpone games well into April. But the one thing you need to do, no postponements here. Stay tuned for Ben Stevens in the morning after, because you know who's there. Hour number one. Yeah, Donnie Wrightside.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.